This episode of Game On is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All stream directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to netflix.com/twit.
It's Sunday, January 22nd, and that Fluttershy is one sassy pony.
Whoa.
Are the one percenters ruining your favorite game? Brian and Veronica say some things to each other they can't take back in the flame war. Shame on a diggle that tries to run Game on a diggle. You want a roguelike game with a booze-fueled sense of humor? We review Dungeons of Dreadmore. Kurt Schilling from 38 Studios talks up his new RPG, Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning, and how that relates to his former career as a sports ball guy who threw the tiny ball to the other man so the one person couldn't touch it with his stick. Do you think Dr. Robotnik had diabetes? It's time for Game On!
For Game On, I am Brian Brushwood.
And I'm Veronica Belmont. This is the only video game show on the internet. I'm pretty sure we checked that
it's
fact.
It's totally true.
Earlier,
so,
yeah.
Veronica, seriously, how the hell did you get Kurt Schilling on the freaking show?
Well, he is a guildmate of mine. I've played World of Warcraft with him. He's a good friend of our good friend, Scott Johnson.
Oh, my gosh. Scott Johnson is the best.
Mm-hmm, and I'm very happy to have him on the show.
And so you had to bribe him? You have blackmail?
No,
what
just,
is going on?
Just ask nicely. That usually works pretty well.
Well, real quick, before we begin, we want to remind you guys that this show does not happen without you. We record live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern at live.twit.tv, or you can contribute stories to our subreddit or tweet reactions to @TwitGameOn.
Yes, and for the live viewers, make sure you stick around after the show because we're going to hang out and play some Team Fortress 2 with anyone who dares to bring their game all up in my grill. We call it Shut Up and Play, and it happens immediately right after we wrap up.
Hey, because your friend in Seattle slept in a tauntaun last night, we have all the week's news in the system update. But before we do, I don't know if you noticed, last year we got a few comments about people saying the intro to the system update was too graphic, what with the dude's head exploding and freaking out, and they're like, you know what, this is a family network. So I actually grabbed the video, I sort of fixed it. Tell me if you can notice the subtle changes I put in there.
Okay.
Hail to the creep. Resident Evil 6 officially has a launch date, and Capcom celebrated the occasion by releasing a trailer where Leon Kennedy shoots the president in his zombie face. The game will, for the first time, unite Leon and Chris Redfield, the two most popular male leads in the franchise history. Global Infection begins November 20th, right after we elect a president who is probably not a zombie. Yet.
Microsoft has admitted their 2011 Xbox dashboard update made third-party video playback look faded and awful. Like a kindly, benevolent dictator, the mothership at Redmond is now stating that the screw-up, which washed out colors and led to claims that certain video wasn't being processed in the highest quality resolution, is real and not rebel propaganda meant to destabilize the proud and brave Xbox revolution. According to Kotaku, a fix is coming soon, and anyone who says otherwise is a traitor to the cause.
We already knew that Mass Effect 3 has Kinect support. All right, are you done booing? Because BioWare finally demoed what they're going to do, and it's kind of awesome. First, there are no motion controls, so don't worry about that. It's only your voice, and according to a video review from IGN, these are both helpful and accurate. Voice commands including weapon switching, picking up items, directing your squad, which can now be physically yelled instead of pausing the action and going to your menu. The tools should keep you in the live action while further freaking out your nosy neighbor listening next door.
Did you sign up for the Halo 4 beta? If you did, you're a real silly goose, because there is no Halo 4 beta. Although there are a few sites out there claiming to offer access, David Ellis from 343 Industries officially decreed this week via Twitter that it was all a bag of malarkey. IGN points out that the timetable is right for a beta announcement in the next few months, but we urge you to suppress your vim and vigor until then.
Just 4 weeks after release, BioWare surprised players with Corellian Corvette loads of new Star Wars The Old Republic features and content. Included are an expanded legacy system, PvP ranking, guild banks, customizable UIs, and an epic storyline called Rise of the Rakghouls, the culmination of a year of development. Hopefully, unlike the reinforcements on Hoth, these haven't come too late for month-to-month subscribers considering renewal.
All right, Veronica, tell me honestly, which are you more excited for, Halo 4 or Resident Evil 6?
Actually, I'm like Stanlock in the chat room. I just signed up for the Halo 5 beta. So I don't know. Is that a problem? Was that wrong?
No, there is no Halo 5. What are you talking about?
Joking.
What is happening?
If I had to pick one of those, it'd probably be Halo 4.
See, I am highly, highly skeptical of Halo 4 because obviously this is the first one that's not going to be from Bungie. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I will admit... maybe I'm a bit console racist. It's just how I was raised. But I've always regarded Halo Deathmatch as being like a decade behind the PC Deathmatch gaming scene. And so I've never had a lot of deep love for Halo to begin with. And the one thing I liked is that Bungie knows how to tell really good stories. They know how to make really good games. And the fact that Bungie's not attached to it makes me even less interested than I'd otherwise be.
It makes me a little bit nervous. But other companies have taken on game series before. Series, is that a word?
Series is a word, yeah.
Okay.
No, but obviously like
and
Call of Duty...
Franchise,
yeah, absolutely.
So I have high hopes, but out of all those games that we just mentioned, probably Mass Effect 3 is the one
stoked
on.
I'll tell you, I'm actually really torn because Mass Effect 3 looks absolutely amazing, but I'm wondering if I'll even have hit level 50 by the time Mass Effect 3 comes out. I'm not progressing nearly as fast on Star Wars The Old Republic as I had hoped at this point.
Well, I got the space battles.
Oh, you got your ship?
Space battles!
So what do you think of the space battles?
So good.
Yeah.
I spent like an hour just like shooting stuff in space. It was awesome. I love that gameplay change, that dynamic change that you go through.
It shakes everything up.
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden you take a break, you play some Rebel Assault, you take home some XP, and then you mm-hmm. go back to your regular battles.
I think it's a really smart way to keep things interesting and to kind of keep the plot moving by going into that totally different gameplay style.
I'll be interested to see if they add other kind of things to shake things up as well later on.
Absolutely. Well, now it's time for a segment where Brian and I yell at each other a bunch.
In game purchases with real money, do they tilt games in favor of beady-eyed rich people who are probably racist? Or are their funds creating a trickle-down effect that keeps games free and helps developers pay rent and buy jet skis? That's the topic of tonight's Play More.
All right, gang. Now, before we even begin the discussion, earlier today we published a straw poll on our subreddit asking this very question. Let's take a look at the results. The exact question, of course, is, let's get that up there on the screen, Chad, does purchasing in-game content skew the game for the rich or create freedom for all players? Pick one. And, of course, the options are, is for rich people who don't want to work and it hurts the game for all the other players, or option two, freedom.
All right, let's see what the numbers say.
Okay, now, obviously, way, way skewed. Almost 1,000 votes in before we even begin, and consistently across the board, like 66% in favor of trashing in-game purchases. This really surprised me.
Now, we didn't talk at all when we were putting this poll out which one of us took which point of view.
Right.
So I think it's time we kind of out ourselves in that regard. I am anti-in-game purchases. I think that they're bad for gameplay. I think they set a bad precedent a lot of times. And when you look at a company like Zynga, they're really just making addictive games that aren't that challenging. And people pay money to skill up. They pay money to get more crud in their game. And it doesn't teach you to be a good gamer. It just teaches you that putting money into a game is the way to go. It makes you lazy.
So you're saying it sets a bad precedent and
yeah.
it screws up games in general for
mm-hmm.
everyone. What else you got? I'm going to let you go completely before I rebut.
I think once people get that lazy, it turns into like, it causes this halo effect, then that makes people turn to the black market of gaming.
Oh, you're talking about all the Chinese gold
exactly.
farmers and World of Warcraft.
Right. So if you can go on and actually buy a full like level 80 Tauren warrior and just get into a raid and suddenly you're playing with this character that you haven't learned the ins and outs, you haven't learned his skills, you haven't learned how to really play that character or that class, you're doing yourself a disservice, you're doing the developers a disservice, and you're doing your fellow players a disservice.
Oh, wait, no. First of all, I'm going to walk through everything. I've actually thought this out. I knew I would be taking a less popular viewpoint on this one. But first of all, the fact is yes, gold farming is an ugly side effect of having some kind of free market. And I'm not going to defend gold farmers in there. It's just the black market that's going to occur anytime you have some kind of free market system. But I am going to say that in-game purchases have saved entire gaming franchises. They've created more gamers, and they've been one of the most important developments to the games industry in the last 5 years. Start with Team Fortress 2. Team Fortress 2 was growing stagnant.
stagnant and it was winding down its life cycle. Gabe Newell said that after going free to play, this is traditionally at the time when the game starts to fade down, instead going free to play and funding the game entirely by in-app purchases caused the user base to increase by 500%. That's a five-fold increase, which is unprecedented. It's absolutely insane. In-game purchases have also provided an incentive for developers to continue to develop titles that they might otherwise allow to go stagnant. Gamers get a more interesting experience. They get more interesting content as a result. And the best story is DC Universe Online was absolutely failing as a pay-to-play MMO. After going free-to-play, they gained 330,000 new players. There's absolutely no question that going free-to-play and relying on in-game purchases saved this game. It saved
the entire franchise. Well, that's fine. But don't offer things. Don't offer purchases that actually help you do better at the game. So what I'm talking about is, yeah, if you want to buy some funny hats for Team Fortress 2, that's great. But if you're going to buy a gun that actually makes you better at the game than people who can't afford to buy that in-game purchase,
but keep in mind,
that's not fair. You should earn that kind of stuff.
Most of the items that they sell, you can earn for free in-game if you play long enough. What they do is they pay so they don't have to go through 50 hours of gameplay in order to get something like the Brass Beast. For the way I play the Heavy in Team Fortress 2, it's an item I wanted a lot, and I just kept not getting it, and I got annoyed, and it's like I would totally buy that in-game if I could. Keep in mind also that one of the great things about free-to-play and the in-game purchases is it means that the people who care the less about their money and care the most about the game end up subsidizing everybody else to pay for
but
free.
But I don't think they care more about the game in that case. I think they care more about their reputation in the game, and I think they care more about having cool stuff in the game.
But
they
cares?
Don't necessarily care about putting the time and effort that other players are putting actually into the game in order to succeed. If I'm good at a game, I want to be good at it because I put the time into it. I don't want to be good at it because I have a fatter wallet than the next guy.
But here's the thing. If they're the suckers dumb enough to pay actual money for it, good on them. They're the ones who are making it free for everyone else. Here's the other thing. We all want hardcore gaming to expand and to grow. And the fact is, for most people, the $60 price tag for most games is such a big hurdle. They would never consider themselves the type of gamers to spend that kind of money to get in. That's why you see so much success on the Zynga free-to-play model. And keep in mind, I'm not a fan of the addictive models of the Zynga
stuff.
Oh,
that stuff is crack.
But keep in mind that a side result of free-to-play means you take a whole class of people. We're talking orders of magnitudes of people who never would have played a hardcore game like Team Fortress 2, but they play it because it's free, and that grows the pie for all the people who love gaming. The MMO scene is better off for DCUO still being around as a free-to-play than if it had just gone away. There's no way that we're better off without DCUO.
But you can buy stuff that doesn't make you better at the game.
That's
you
fine.
Can get DLC. That's paying money to the developers.
Sure.
And improving the game for everyone. You can buy different outfits, different uniforms. You can buy different colors of weapons if you want to. But don't spend $10, $5 on a gun that's going to be better than the gun that I can get in the game. I know you could spend a lot more time to get that same weapon, yes. But it's a shortcut. It's an instant shortcut, and I don't think that is true to the spirit of gaming.
Okay, but games are supposed to be fun.
I guess it depends on
who you
ask.
I was about to say, games are supposed to be fun. If it's not fun for you to grind for 10 full hours before you get your Brass Beast, then freaking give $5. What the hell do I care? It's $5. I spend more than that on a freaking coffee at the airport, and it can make the game exciting for me. It funds the game, makes it free for everybody. Everybody wins. PC gaming and console gaming wins as a result. That's my case.
Well, I disagree, and I think that our audience agrees more with me, but you can check it out over at strawpoll.me/96. I think it was 95 before, but I guess
it's
96
now. 95 was the first question.
Oh, now we're asking afterwards?
Right now, live while we're actually broadcasting, you guys go to strawpoll.me/96, and we'll see if I've swayed anyone. Because, look, I'm telling you, man. Oh, and I do have to give an incredible thank you to Josh Augustine over at the PC Gamer magazine. I totally cheated because I knew I would have a very unpopular view, so I called Josh and I was like, I need some help.
Oh, did you pay him?
No,
did you give him money to give her the answers?
I earned it.
So you could get all your fancy numbers and statistics to argue at me with?
Josh is very passionate on this. He feels like this is the lifeblood. This is what's going to explode gaming of all variety and make it more popular for everyone. So he was fast to give you a lot of quotes. But I'll tell you what, if you're against in-game purchases, you're against the likes of Gabe Newell over at Valve, you're against DC Universe Online, there's a million things that couldn't exist if it weren't for this model. And I know it's annoying to look at people spending,
it is evening out a little bit since we had this argument. They're calling me Veronica Wrongmont in the chat room now, which I do not appreciate, by the way. I don't know. I think we just have very different points of view on this particular.
Well,
we'll have to agree to disagree.
And I'll tell you what. Make sure to send us an email over at game@twit.tv. But I'll tell you what. That is a tough battle. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to lick my wounds in the most erotic way possible. And I would like to point out that's actually in the script. Let's remind everyone who pays for this nonsense.
All right, look, if you're watching this show, it's because you got yourself an Xbox 360, a Nintendo Wii, a PS3, an iPhone, an iPad, some kind of computer you're playing games on. Guess what? You can also watch thousands of TV and movie shows by heading on over to Netflix.com/twit and sign up for your free 30-day trial. You know what Netflix is. Netflix is only the greatest thing since, what, humanity? The orgasm? Gummy bears? And they're even getting better. Not only do they have this giant back catalog of stuff available for instant streaming, but they're creating their new content. For example, House of Cards coming out soon with Kevin Spacey in there. You guys love Netflix. Now, why don't you show your love for Twit by heading on over to Netflix.com/Twit and getting your friends on there as well.
All right, two PC games, one review segment. Will they learn to coexist before a terrorist blows up the embassy? We find out in The Score. All right, so Dungeons of Dreadmoor is a great dungeon crawler from Gaslamp Studios. It was released last year, so don't send me emails saying that it came out a long time ago. I know, I just got around to playing it, and it's awesome. But I didn't want this one to escape your attention if you're a fan of roguelike games. It's hilarious and challenging and a nice nod to games that have come before. So what I love is that it has so much humor in this game. You start off with your difficulty settings. You can be an elf, a dwarf, or a rogue, which kind of doesn't make sense to me because that's not actually a race.
I'm half roguish, so yes, it is a race.
You're half roguish?
Yes. No, my grandfather, that's where the haircut came from. It's a birth defect.
It also has permanent death. Now, this is something that's typical in roguelike games, but it's not something that a lot of gamers today are really used to.
Or at least they don't think they want it.
They don't think they want it, but it makes the game so much more challenging.
Well, and terrifying,
and it makes it exciting, too. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you get that real adrenaline rush when you think you're about to die, and it really sucks to die, then it changes things.
But you can turn that off in the settings if you want. To though, so if that's not something that you would be a total wimp in that case, I could say worse things, but it's absolutely true. Try it at least at first, and if you don't like it, go back and turn it off later. The skills is another thing I really, really love. You can do the basic like swords, axes, but then they have these like more classy. Like skill like things. You can be a Viking wizard.
Awesome.
You can do fungal arts.
Are you,
which
wait,
I don't even
arts?
Know what that means.
You're flinging mushrooms at people.
You can be a werediggle.
Of course.
And I think that's pretty awesome. Like you can either do like you pick 7 of those skills or you can randomize it and just get something random. I found though when I randomized it, I didn't like it as much because I would get like proficiency in axes, swords, staves, like all sorts of weapon stuff at the same time, and then I would not have as many cool spell casting things. I'm more of a caster by nature.
Yeah.
I like to cast spells and shoot lightning at people.
Yeah.
They have like really great necromancy stuff as well. It's super fun skill wise. But the controls are really pretty difficult, actually, in my opinion. It took me a while to get comfortable with the controls. You can go in and change the key bindings, which is good, of course. I mean, every game should have that anyway.
Like did they make a mistake where a common key binding, they did it something where backwards
it's
or just like, it was non-intuitive?
It's more like when you're playing and you want to try to figure out how to pick stuff up. You have to, is it a control click? Is it a right mouse click? Is it a left mouse click? It took me a while to kind of figure out the right way to control my character. So it's a really super fun game, though.
Big of a game is it?
It's How big. They do random dungeons, so you get like different dungeon experience every time. Right. And the writing and the text in the game is just extremely funny.
That's how I felt about Magicka. Did you play Magicka?
Yes, I did. Yeah, Magicka is another really great example.
Okay.
Totally. It's $5 on Steam. This game is well worth the money. I give it 5 diggles, even though I don't know what that means.
I'm pretty sure that was
pornographic. Not entirely sure what that means.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. I've been playing Defense Grid The Awakening, and recently the downloadable content Defense Grid You Monster came out. Do you know about this?
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I haven't played it.
Dude, first of all, if you're not playing Defense Grid, you are a terrible person. It's only $9.99 on Steam.
You just called me a terrible
person. You are genuinely a terrible person, and you should be ashamed of yourself, and you should weep for the rest of this episode.
Gotcha.
The important thing is that it's $9.99, and it is the best tower defense game I've ever played, because not only is the gameplay mechanic novel and fun, there's an excellent balance on there, but they figured out that story matters. And one of the things they've done in Defense Grid is they pit you against this oncoming onslaught of aliens. It's not cheesy. It's not silly. It's believable. And the best part is your sidekick is an artificial intelligence that is the downloaded consciousness of an old general from the old wars. So there's these weird moments when he
kind of glitches, and he's not, you know, and he talks about his son, and he thinks about, like, how great it would be to taste raspberries again. So you really find yourself engaged and committed to this artificial intelligence, which is what makes the You Monster content absolutely amazing. You stumble across this old testing facility, and by the end of the first level, it's freaking GLaDOS. It's a testing facility to train against alien inventions.
Literally?
Yes, it is GLaDOS.
It's literally GLaDOS.
It's literally GLaDOS. And GLaDOS starts to take on your artificial intelligent friend and dominate him, and then she starts setting up these increasingly unfair scenarios. This is a great plot device to set up situations that would never make sense in the actual game, but they set up, like, she'll allow you to play the game and say, oh, by the way, you don't need guns anymore, and then all your towers
will
go down. Yes, exactly. And then eventually it gets to this amazing ending where she says, well, this testing isn't good enough, so I've reopened the portal for more aliens. And so the real aliens start coming back. It is exquisite, and it's only $4.99. You gotta get this unless you're a communist.
Nice. So both those games we just talked about are both available on Steam.
Right.
They're both under $5.
Indie publishers.
$4.99. Indie publishers. Well worth the time and money, I would say.
Yeah. And of course, people are going to say that we just love every game. The fact is we really tend to want to talk about games we love rather than games
that makes it a lot easier when you actually really like a game you're talking about. Definitely. Yeah.
So definitely buy those. But I'll tell you what, though. You have not seen anything yet because Game On is going to roll on. Veronica is about to talk to Kurt Schilling about RPGs, MMOs, and showering with grown men. Pretty sure that's a reference to the fact that baseball players shower in, not the... Right. Plus, five of the best video game quotes of all times, you spoony bard, and a new mobile game that'll make you very excited to find syphilis and then share the achievement with your friends. Seriously, you'll understand later. Let's kick it over to Veronica.
Hey, everyone. So I am joined now by Kurt Schilling, who is a Boston All-Star, one of my favorite people in the gaming world, and also is the founder of 38 Studios, which is making some awesome new titles coming out very shortly. Thank you for joining us, Kurt.
Thanks for having me.
So, for those of you who haven't played the demo yet, which just came out earlier this week, right? For Kingdoms of Amalur?
Yep.
Tell us about the game.
It is a mix of God of War meets Oblivion in every sexy, awesome way you can imagine.
That's it? That's all you're going to give me?
It is absolutely... Well, it's the first game in the universe, the Amalur universe, which has been a lot of years in the making. R.A. Salvatore, Todd McFarlane, from a story and an artistic vision perspective, came together with the team down in Baltimore, formerly that was Big Huge Games, and they really kicked off the introduction to our universe, our Amalur universe, which, you know, a lot of gamers know we've had an MMO in the works for over 5 years now, and this is a single player role playing game introduction to that, and it's an amalgamation of all of the funnest and coolest games that I've ever played, and all of those ideas and gameplay mechanics executed on in awesome fashion.
So I know you're a big gamer. What did you see in the fantasy RPG genre that you felt was missing and you wanted to put into this title?
Well, I'm not sure that it was missing. Everything that we have, for the most part, is stuff that I've seen before. The combat God of War, the deep story in Oblivion, and, you know, I'm all the way back to the SSI, the Gold Box, D&D stuff I love to play as well. But I'd never seen all of these things in the same game or execute. I've seen a lot of games try and put a lot of different features from a lot of different games and try to be everything to everyone and end up nothing to anyone. And I think this is, and I've said a lot of times, I feel like this is the first game ever of its kind. And I think a lot of people take umbrage with that. But when you play it and you realize that there's an immense amount of depth and breadth to the combat and you can feel yourself physically get better at combat, while at the same time, there's multiple 200 to 300 hours worth of questing, story, lore, everything you can imagine as a fantasy geek in here. And I am a fantasy geek, so it's got everything for two different genres of players. And I feel like both of those things are really well done.
Yeah, I've been playing the demo, and the combat does feel very satisfying. Like when you're killing stuff, it feels very visceral in a way. I know visceral is such a cliche term that a lot of people use when they describe gaming stuff, but it does feel like you're making contact. You're actually having some kind of effect on the guys that you're hitting.
Well, so, and it's rare to talk to someone of the female persuasion that has the gaming background that you do, but I don't know how much you like God of War. I was a huge God of War fan from a combat perspective, but that's not my type of game, but I played it because the combat was so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a deep RPG guy. I love lore and story and questing. And so Oblivion, Baldur's Gate, I mean, I've always been a real deep story guy. in those games, that was the centerpiece of gameplay. In Oblivion, you tried to go from quest to quest and storyline to storyline because that was where the majority of the gameplay and enjoyment was. And in God of War, you ran from combat to combat, fight to fight, and boss to boss because the combat was the core of the game. You can do one or the other in our game or both. And they're both, I think, incredibly deep and rich. And again, I don't think I've ever played a game that had both of those things in it.
Is there a lot of non-combat activities that you can do in this game? It does feel very combat fighting centric, but can I if I feel like it?
Yes, that's been the hardest thing for us to tell people and explain to people because you saw the demo, you played the demo. It's hard to believe that there's a stat-based, stat-driven RPG behind it, but I'll tell you a quick story. Ken Ralston, the internationally celebrated game designer, which I think I'm legally bound to say that every time I mention he spent 2 weeks in the game never taking a quest from a quest giver, and there was 2 weeks of gameplay that he really wrote like an after-action report on, and I asked him why. He said, because I wanted to know that you could. I wanted to know that I could live in this world, and this world could live around me, and I didn't have to be doing the things you wanted me to do, which is very Ken-like. But yes, you can do anything you want. You can kill chickens. You can go collect lore from lore stones. You can collect herbs. You can sagecraft. You can blacksmith. You can build weapons and name them. I mean, there's just, again, hundreds and hundreds of hours added to the fact that we have, I think, what's going to be, and again, as a gamer, I say this knowing what's come before it, I think our DLC is going to blow people away.
Why does it always come back to killing chickens? What do game developers have against chickens?
In the 5+ years that I've owned this company, it's one of the 4 or 5 questions I still have not gotten an answer
chickens.
To.
Chickens. They're so docile. Yeah.
I'm pro killing chickens. I like killing chickens.
Yeah, Brian loves killing chickens.
I'm okay
chickens,
with the chicken killing, for the record.
He's very okay with that. So you mentioned that you're working with Ari Salvatore and Todd McFarlane. How did that partnership come into existence?
I've known Todd for about 10 years. When I was playing for the Arizona Diamondbacks, I met Todd through some philanthropic stuff that we had done. And I just reached out and cold called RA at the time when I was going to start 38 Studios. I wanted to grab a hold of two guys in the fantasy space that were the best in the world at what they did, and I thought they both were. And so I reached out, called RA, and it turns out that RA lived in Massachusetts, and at the time I was playing for the Boston Red Sox, and he was a huge Red Sox fan. So
woo-hoo!
It was one of those. It was a very geeky phone call because I had just read his novels, and I called him, and it was 15 minutes of him going, "Wow, oh my god, I can't believe I'm talking to you," and I was going, "Oh my god, I can't believe I'm talking to you." So yeah, it was very geeky, but that relationship has been just a godsend. You add Ken Ralston to the mix, and you've got Todd and RA and Bob and I. RA is a hardcore gamer as well, and so am I. But we venture ourselves to be game designers, and we're really not that good at game design. I think we know good games, but you've got Ken Ralston who can take the three of us and kind of wrap up what it is we wanted and turn it into something that people, I think, are going to love.
What do you think is the hardest part so far from the point of view of yourself and from your development team?
Patience. Yeah, absolutely. Because at the end of the day, we have something that not a lot of companies have, and that is the fact that we are hardcore gamers who want to make awesome games for gamers. And we're not a publicly held company, so we have a different agenda. We have a different vision. We want to just make awesome, kick-ass games that we always want to play. And as a lifelong gamer, I know when I play those games. When I played games in the past, when I played World of Warcraft, I knew it was made by a bunch of people in the studio that wanted to keep playing that game. I knew when I played Portal that I was playing a game that was loved by the people that made it. And that's when you play those games, whether you like the genre or not, you know you're playing something fun. At the end of the day, we want to make fun games. And it takes patience and a lot of money.
So what can you tell us so far about the project you're also working on that you mentioned a little bit earlier, Copernicus? That's your MMO,
well,
right?
If it was up to me, I would. I have one of my media and marketing and PR people sitting on the couch over here.
They're right watching you.
Yes, they are. There's like a shock collar thing they got on. It is coming. It is exciting. It's huge. It is hopefully the next iteration on what people want from an MMO. I mean, mm-hmm. There's so much to it there, and that's one of the allures and the attractions. We didn't. We're not going to spin off stuff around the MMO if it's successful. We're spinning off stuff around the MMO because it's the plan. So when you go into Reckoning, you're going to be seeing and playing and fighting races that exist in the MMO. You're going to be introduced to races that maybe they're monsters in the RPG that will become playable races in the MMO. All of the locations in the world in Reckoning exist in the MMO. Maybe they're ruins when the MMO shows up or something. But there's immense amounts of crossover and carryover. And if you think about how console life now is with product, there's a lot of DLC intention planned. And a lot of companies will put DLC out to give games shelf life to make more money. Obviously, as a business, we want to make more money. But we have DLC plans that will lead from our RPG into our MMO. So we're going to be able to show. Yeah, that's exciting.
That's really cool. Have you seen like the success of Star Wars, The Old Republic, and thought, all right, well, someone's coming up against WoW. Someone is doing it successfully. Does that give you hope that making an MMO in this day and age is something that's, you know, feasible?
Well, first off, Veronica, I am the most optimistic human being in the world.
I know.
I never looked at our success.
You never doubted it, right?
Well, no, but I never. It was never. It's not. It's not contingent on someone else doing good or bad. If we make a great game, people are going to play it. And I know that sounds simplistic, but at the end of the day, it's a lot of companies get away from that simple fundamental truth, which is if the game is awesome, people are going to play it. I mean, I'm knee deep in Star Wars right now, and I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I'm having a lot of fun. I think they did some really cool and unique stuff. We're huge BioWare fans. I think they've changed a lot of people's opinions on voiceover, on story and MMOs, and a lot of other things. And we're trying, like, I think with Reckoning, we're trying the same thing with Copernicus. We're trying to learn from the people that have come before us and done it better than everybody else, take those pieces and turn into something you never played before.
So, on a more personal note, how has this whole career shift been for you, going from being basically a sports legend to working in a totally, totally different industry? Or, from your point of view, is it not that different?
It's been seamless because I was ready to leave. I walked away from the game of baseball after 23 years, and I was ready. I don't miss. I thank God I was able to do it, but I miss nothing about it. I came into this with my eyes wide open. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, where I was 5 years ago and where I am now, I think are vastly different places. But I always thought I was a really good game designer. It took me about 6 weeks here to learn that I suck at it, and then. We're 5 years into this, and I realize now the company that we've created, we've got almost 400 employees between two studios. The company that we've created, the culture we've created, the environment that we've created here is special and unique to us. This is not a place to work. This is a place to belong, and that's very different, I think, than working at other places. And that's my job now. I'm here to protect that and preserve that. So from a leadership perspective, I don't know. I think there's an immense amount of crossover and carryover. I'm working, just like in my former job, I'm working with incredibly talented, gifted human beings. My job is, as a leader here, is to put them in a place to succeed and be as creative and productive as possible.
The demo is obviously out now on all platforms. When is the game going to launch, and where can our viewers find more info?
February 7th in North America, February 10th in Europe. It's on all three platforms. You can find it at GameStop. You can find it on Steam, on Origins, and on Xbox Live, on the PlayStation Network. And it is at Reckoning.com. You can find out anything you want to know about everything. And we've actually just done a couple site updates with lore and content for Amalur. So all of you lore junkies and RPG buffs can go there. And plus, our team posts all over the forums, and we're very active, and we communicate with our fans all the time.
As a little fangirl moment, I also have to say the art in the game looks fantastic. Thank you for making female characters in RPG actually look like real human females, or not necessarily human, but the renderings are just awesome.
Well, again, Veronica, I think one of the crucial pieces for us is at the end of the day, we're gamers. We know what we like to do, and you know, we're gamers of male and female persuasion. So in our art department, you know, drawing the 77 double D female is generally not going to go over well with my art team. Although the guys enjoy it, it generally doesn't find its way into the game. So, but again, we're gamers. We know what we want to play. We know what we love to play. We know what we like to look at.
Well, thanks again, and we can't wait to get our hands on the game.
Thank you, and best of luck with this show, and keep it up.
Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Thanks. You too.
All right, that was awesome. I can't wait to play that game. I'm so excited. The demo is fantastic, but we've got a lot more coming up. So back to you, Brian.
All right, gang. You know that some quotes are memorable and some are not, like what I'm saying right now, this introduction. Here are the top five game quotes of all time.
Initiate countdown. All right, party people, we are talking about the best game quotes of all time, starting with the first. It's time to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of gum. Duke Nukem. F word, and yes, this says it all. I was planning on doing two things. However, the scarcity of the former has forced me to redouble my efforts on the latter, which means I am going to murder your head until it explodes in tears and blood. The speed of your death was affected by a lack of spearmint gum. Now, it bears noting that the Nukem line was a direct ripoff slash homage to the classic film They Live. If you didn't know that, watch They Live right now. And if you did know that, watch it again. It's taking every amount of willpower I have to not stop this list and watch They Live again right now.
I'll paint my face with your blood!
Ingvar the Plunderer, World of Warcraft. Imagine how many ways Ingvar could learn to paint his face with the amount of blood he collected. Talking sad clown, happy clown, mime, both members of the Insane Clown Posse. It would be the talk of wherever he went. Guys at work would tell each other, hey, did you see Ingvar painted his face like Ace Frehley from Kiss using the blood of his enemies? So cool. You have died of dysentery. Oregon Trail. You could die a whole bunch of ways in the Oregon Trail. Snake bite, hunger, cholera. But we all remember dysentery. Why? Because we remember the first time we looked it up. Very much in the spirit of an educational game, we learned a new word that day. A dangerous and fatal disease that claimed the lives of so many brave pioneers who built this country on their courage. Oh, and it involved diarrhea, which is hilarious because it involves butts. It's dangerous to go alone. Take this. The old dude from Legend of Zelda. All right, so you're Link, and you come across this wizened old man. It's dangerous to go alone, he tells you. Great, you think to yourself. You'll join me on my quest. You must know the lay of the land. You probably know some crazy magic that'll come in handy as I continue to dance on the razor's edge of life and death. Maybe you got a cute niece I can meet after this is all over. Man, we're gonna have so much fun at Thanksgiving dinners. You could be my Obi-Wan Kenobi. Take this, he interrupts. Seriously, a sword? I thought you said I shouldn't go alone. Swords aren't people, you doddering old coot. Hope you die of dysentery down here. The president has been kidnapped by ninjas. Are you a bad enough dude to rescue the president? Bad dudes. David Mamet has not written better dialogue. You know exactly what's going on. It's a clarion call of brilliance that clues you into your exact frame of mind. It's got everything. Patriotism, hatred of ninjas, and a challenge laid before you. Is your relative level of badness enough to solve this problem and rescue the leader of a free world? Everyone on the planet should wake up every morning and ask themselves this question. Are you a bad enough dude? Or are you going to let your family die of butt disease on your way to Oregon?
All right, so that is my list. What about you, Veronica? You got any favorites? What did I miss?
Well, I have to say you said, I'll paint my face with your blood! Wrong.
Yes!
You have to say it like that.
I thought you would like
I'll
that.
I'll paint my face with your blood!
Because, you know, I'm not a native wower, so I went and I rewatched it over and over again trying to sell it.
He doesn't actually sound like that, but that's just how I say it.
I like the way you say it.
You missed the cake is a lie.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If we're going to do a cake is a lie, then we got to put Arrow and a Knee on there. I'm going to put those as
then
twins.
Then we start going down the rabbit hole.
I know, but it's infinitely
bad.
Quotable. We will remember that quote 10 years from now, though. So I do agree. It does belong on the list.
It's a quote, but it's not really said by anyone in the game. So does it count?
Oh, that's a really good point. It's only written on the walls.
Is it a quote if it's just written somewhere in the game? I think it does.
That's a good one. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll kick it out to the chat room out there. If we missed any good ones, why don't you tweet us at TwitGameOn or write us game@twit.tv. But meanwhile, look, fact is, I don't know if you know this, Veronica, but words are the building blocks of civilization. As long as you don't count food, air, and hugs. We review vocab puzzle game Spell Tower in iOS for this week's AppDiction.
I'm an adult. I have a car and a mortgage. But it's always fun when a game makes you feel like a kid again. Take Spell Tower, for example. It's as simple as a children's game, but so addicting and challenging that you'll have a hard time putting it down. The object is to link words together through tiles that touch, like an old-fashioned word search, but you aren't limited to one direction. For example, you can link four letters that all touch diagonally, horizontally, and reverse diagonally to make a word. You can then test that against four different modes, including a leisurely tower mode and a time trial rush mode, which feel like totally different games.
There's really no rush.
Sorry. There's really no rush quite like finding the word parsimony in the last few seconds to beat your personal best, or the score of a friend, like that know-it-all Steve. Since Spell Tower plugs mode-specific scores to Game Center, comparing yourself to friends is super easy. We can all agree that Steve's a dick, right? Bottom line, game looks clean and classy. where nerds will love it, and it's easy enough for a 6-year-old girl to learn, but tough enough to frustrate the ever-loving hell out of a man in his mid-30s like me. Sorry to take this. Steve, so glad you called. Anyhow, see you later.
Audio listeners thought there was something, anything off about that particular segment.
You know, here's what I want, because I know that people enjoy it on the audio feed. Audio feed is almost as popular as the video feed, and I know that they know they're missing something, but before they check, before they find out on the video feed, I would love people to send us their guess as to what was going on. Yes, there was definitely something a little bit off during that review. Have you played Spell Tower, though, yet?
No.
It's fantastic.
There's too many games out. I can't keep up.
Well, that's my job now. That's both of our
that
jobs
That is now officially
it's
my job.
Work, sweetheart.
Tough life.
I have to play Spell Tower. No, it's way good.
Well, we are just about done, but if you're watching live, please hang on for our new show, Shut Up and Play, where the hosts and staff of Game On play against you folks at home. It's totally cash, except I play for blood. Your blood!
On my face!
I will pay for your blood! Glenn, how's it going over there? You ready to go?
It is going. What's up, everybody? I'm Glenn Rubenstein, the producer and co-host of Shut Up and Play. If you want to be a part of our LAN party tonight playing Team Fortress 2, tonight being January 22nd, all you have to do is send an email to twitlamparty@gmail.com. Make the subject line TF2 and be sure to include your Steam username. We got a ton of maps tonight, including Aperture Science, a Mario theme map. It's off the hook. It's going to be awesome. We got 5 servers running, so get in on it. And heads up for next week, January 22nd, Left 4 Dead 2. Send something to the same email address, twitlamparty@gmail.com. Make the subject line L4D2 and be sure to include your Steam username.
And, of course, we want to give a special thanks to Doghouse System for providing these kick-ass gaming machines for our LAN party. When you're ready to level up, use the code GAMEON at checkout, and they will double your memory for free. And I don't just mean on the computer. I mean you will suddenly remember twice as many things. Click on the banner ad for our Twit homepage to learn more about the double your memory promotion.
And as if directing a live show wasn't hard enough, let's check in with Chad for some audience feedback. How you doing over there, Chad?
I'm doing really good. First, let's check out what happened with the straw poll.
Oh my God, yes.
Here we are. The final results are in. It looks like...
People still hate freedom.
Yes, I am the winner. I am win...
But
the
more
win.
People like freedom now, the layer. That's the problem with freedom. Freedom gets so ugly when you see the gold farming and all the game-ruining aspects of
it. And apparently I'm a communist.
Yes. And by the way, for the record, I'm the one who is pro-free market, so stop calling me communist chat room. I'm looking at you guys.
Get it right. Gosh. All right, well, that's it for this episode. Thanks to Kurt Schilling for beating the Yankees and Skyping in with us. And, of course, a big thanks to all of you guys for watching. We will see you next week.
Yeah.
Nathan Drake thought he had it all.
Hey, Sully.
How you doing, sweetheart?
Oh, no. Sorry, that's sort of frowned upon here.
Oh, right.
You two can hold hands, though.
What do you say? What the hell?
You see this?
But sometimes relationships aren't easily charted.
Remind me again why we're doing this.
Victor is only ever in it for Victor.
I just want to make sure we're doing this for the right reasons.
He just saw something he could exploit.
Let's split up.
Don't touch me!
Now Nathan
so
must
angsty.
Discover life's most precious treasure. Love.
Oh my God. Are you okay?
It's Sully. Don't ask
me. Let's try to get a couple hours sleep.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Come on. All right? Don't He'll call if anything changes. It just isn't worth it, Nate. Let this one go.
Oh, no. You can't just give up.
Why this obsession? He would go to the ends of the earth for you, Nate.
She just answered her own question.
Don't ask him to. Yes!
From the makers of Kane and Lynch Crazy in Love comes a romantic tale about...
I'd like to be in that man, witch. I said
I have
it.
Made a
chat
lot
room.
Of mistakes, kid. And you can't barrel them into my life.
Here's the best.
How long you been carrying that around? too long.
Uncharted. Drake's Devotion.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, my God.